Absolutely, positively, no. If I was what you prayed for and things of that nature, what you were thinking, and you just really felt sure that God said no, how did you take it? Did you take it as a rejection, or did you take it that maybe it was a redirection? Sometimes God has other things for us that are a lot better than what you and I could even dream or think about. Isn't that what our writer said today? That God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we even dream or ask for. Through the power. We were talking about the power of God's Word. We're talking about power. The power that is within us. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power. And as you're one of God's children, that power needs to be manifested in your individual life. So, someone has written this. I thought it's apropos, and I know you've heard it maybe before, but it maybe will hit the point. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said it was not for Him to take it away, but for me to deny myself and give it up. Jesus did say, except a man deny himself, take up his cross, he cannot follow me. I asked God to grant me patience, and God said, no. He said patience is a byproduct of trials. It isn't granted, it is earned. It is learned. You heard about the person who prayed for patience and said, Lord, give me patience right now. I asked God to give me happiness. And God said, no. He said, He gives me blessings and joy. Happiness is up to me. I asked God to spare me pain. And God said, no. He said, suffering draws me apart from the world and the worldly cares and brings me closer to Him. I asked God to make my spirit grow. And God said, no. He said, I must desire His Word. I must desire His Word on my own that I might mature. But He said He would prune me to make my life more fruitful. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life, and God said no. He said He will give me an abundant life that I might enjoy all things. I asked God to help me to love. To love like He loves. To love Him as and to love others as much as He loves others and how much He loves me. And God said, aha, you're finally getting it. What you're asking and desiring is that your heart would become like my heart. What is the heart of God? Well, I think the Bible's really clear on that. The beloved disciple, the Apostle John, declared in 1 John 4:8, he says, the one who does not love does not know nor love God, for God is, what is He? God is love, L-O-V-E, agape, God is love. And so as you and I have in our text this morning, we find very clearly what the Apostle Paul expressed to all of us this morning. For this reason, I bow my knees. Bow in your knees. Isn't that sort of like the word humble yourself? Did we not talk about humility a lot in the last few weeks? Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in proper time? Isn't bowing your knees a form of humility? Isn't it recognizing who He is, His awesomeness, His power over you and over all creation? Because God spoke everything into existence. God holds everything together and consists everything together by His word power. And at the end of time, when God speaks the last time, anything and everything that can be shaken is going to be removed. And the only thing that will remain is the kingdom of God. Powerful. But He began, for this reason, I think if you read the text, it says, therefore, okay, in the American Standard, I want to go back just a little bit, and I want you to listen to these words. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, Verse 8, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. To preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of God, the Father. There is no measure to God's richness. He owns everything, does He not? He created everything, and it's His. He made you and I in His image. He breathed into you the breath of life. And you and I move and have our being through Him. Every aspect of our being. And it said, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known through the church, the people of God, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. And for this reason, I bow my knees. The book of Colossians makes it very clear that the mystery of God unfolded to the church is Christ in you, the hope of glory, of being someday like God, receiving the very nature of God Himself. For when you and I see Him, we will become like Him. We will receive a glorified body, just as Jesus glorified and was glorified on that Mount of Transfiguration. The Father, the Creator of all of us, we should bow our knees. To know who God is and recognize His awesomeness and His power ought to humble you, and you ought to be bowing your knees before Him. He is the Creator of all things. It's in Him you move and have your being. We are His offspring. Every breath you take is a gift from God. Every breath. God allows you to have that breath. So when you and I consider this, therefore, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart at your tribulation. Don't lose heart at what you're dealing with in this life. Don't lose heart at all. For what you suffer and what you go through, according to Romans 8, is nothing compared to what God has laid in store for you, which is yet to come. Don't lose your focus over your hope and what you have yet to look forward to and what God is preparing for you right now. Eyes haven't seen, nor ears have heard. What has and what God is preparing for us someday, don't miss it. Don't miss it. But beyond that, He says, I'll bow my knees before the Father. Verse 15, if you'll notice, says something very clear. All right? From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Michael, the archangel. Lucifer, the devil, Satan. Abraham, we called Abram, Abraham. Jacob, Esau. All of those names were given by God. Everyone received their name, every aspect of being, God named them. Through Adam, He named every animal. He names everything. God names you. He names you. And aspects of every aspect of your being, you and I, have been given a name. Acts 11:26 says, and God, the word is, God called, divine tense, called us Christians in Antioch. You wear a God-given name, the name is Christian. I'm not Bill Horton. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I've been born again into a family of God. And Jesus is my brother. The Holy Spirit is the power by which I live in and I move in and the inner man. God gave me a new name to wear, and we ought to wear it proudly. If anyone suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on behalf of that name. On behalf of that name. Now, I don't know all the intent of what every family, but every aspect we all have and were created by God, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, the unfathomable riches of His wealth, everything that He has given, that He would grant that to you by His glory, by the fact that God is a loving, gracious, merciful, forgiving, compassionate, Loving kindness abides forever. The glory of God is His nature. It's His character. It's who He is. It's who He is. And by the glory of God, He has granted you all of His riches. Everything that God, He has given it to you, it is yours to have as one of His children, if you wear His name and the aspects of it. So we would grant you, according to it, to be strengthened with power, notice that, through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that Christ may be in you, dwelling in your heart. God wants you to experience in the inner man His glory. That is His nature. How merciful are you? How kind are you? How forgiving are you? How loving are you? How much do you express goodness in your individual life? Isn't that the glory of God? Isn't that who He is? And isn't that what God wants to translate into the hearts and the minds of His people? And why in the aspects of that? Again, Christ may dwell. The Greek word is permanently. That He may permanently remain in you, dwell in you, in your hearts, and that is through faith. Notice that word. That His Spirit in your man, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Where does faith come from? Hearing. And hearing from where? So Christ dwelled permanently. Permanently. My wife got a new permanent, but it won't stay permanently. Point is that Christ came to stay in your heart. He came to remain and to take dwelling in you through faith. John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him, abide in him. Colossians 1:27, what I made reference to, Paul says to the church at Colossae, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that which we anticipate, the hope of being someday like God. How about Galatians 2:20? You know that verse. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ who lives in me. That's what it says. Right? Now, how do we know that? How do we know that Christ really dwells in us? Well, by faith. Where does faith come from? The Word of God. So how do I know Christ dwells in me? Because this book says so. I believe what the book says. Don't you believe what the book says? Don't you believe this is the whole, full truth of God? A revelation from God? So that when you were born again, you weren't just born of water. You were born of the Spirit of God. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name. Your sins will be washed away. And you will receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit of God into your inner man. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The whole aspect of that is I'm believing. That's mind-blowing. If the Creator of the universe, who spoke everything into existence from nothing, who now holds it all together by His word power, and someday He's going to speak and say, done, and the earth and everything that can be shaken is going to be removed, and anything and everything is going to remain is only the kingdom of God. And He dwells in me. He has come to take His dwelling in me, in my heart, in my life. He's in me. He's in me. My body is His temple. And you are all part of this unbelievable household in the temple of God. Every one of us. And God dwells in you. You believe that. You have use. And do you put your confidence and faith that God dwells in you? Then do you realize the power you have inside of you? Huh? God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of sober mind and of love, a spirit of power. Right? How many of you need that power to overcome, to fight the fight of faith, to keep your flesh in control? One of the reasons the Holy Spirit is given is to mortify, put to death the deeds of the flesh, the body. You know that? God's empowered us. I can do all things through the power, the strength of Christ that is in me. You know what it says? Well, how many of us really, really, really believe that? Or we throw out all kinds of excuses of why we can't do or be what God has called us to be. I think God took all of these excuses away here. I really do. And the aspect, of course, of all of that is that we are to be what? Being what? That's a term that is related to nature. And what? Grounded in love. That's a term that is an architectural term. Rooted. You know that the roots grow first in trees and flowers, and the first thing that has to develop is the roots before the stalk or the main substance can grow. The first thing. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about, we planted these trees about a year and a half ago, and they haven't grown a bit. And I kind of explained to them the word rooted. Because the first thing it has to develop is roots, right? And we have been rooted. We have been rooted and grounded in God's love. We're rooted in His love. Now, what's more important, the tap root that goes down or the roots that just go and spread out over in the shallow? Have you ever been up north, deer hunting? You ever gone back into the, what they call the, where the basic trees are blown over? I mean, you go up north where I hunt, there are hundreds of trees, big, huge, giant trees, but they're all laid over, and the roots are laying there, and I climb up on them and sit there, they're hunting. Why did those trees blow over? Because the roots were shallow. They had no tap roots. They had no roots that went down. They all grew out. And the aspect of here is you are rooted in Christ, and you're rooted in the love of God, and you need to put those roots deep down into the love of God. You need to root your life in God's love. That's what you do. You put your life and you root it deep into the roots of God's love, and that will nourish you. The love of God is what will nourish you and furnish you and empower you. What will do it? What is it? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. And you're going to see that. Grounded. Grounded is a foundational term. When you build a building, what's the most important part of a building? It's the foundation. Did not God lay the foundation for you and I to build our lives upon? Did not God love you enough to let His Son come and die for you and then give His Son a body, a church, the body of Christ, in order that He could become that foundation? No other foundation can any man lay than what has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. You build your life on His love for you. Did He not love you enough to take your place? Didn't He die for you? Huh? How do you measure that? How do you measure that? The whole point is that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the, yes, what is the, and the noble love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled up. What is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God? The cross? The length? How deep does it reach? How high does the cross reach? What's the width and the breadth of the cross? Isn't the cross the power of God? Isn't the cross what God confronted the elements of the world, the foundations of the world, the rulers and the powers? It's the cross. It's what God did on the cross. You know, it's what God did on the cross. God demonstrated and brought a word into being that no man, not even Satan, can destroy it. It's called grace. And because God loved you that much, the height, the length, the width, the depth of the love of God, the grace of God could come to all of us. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Do you personally know how much God loves you? I'm serious. Because until you really experience the depth, the height, the length, the breadth of the love of God, you will never be rooted in this life. It will overcome you. You will never have a foundation upon which to build your life. You have to build your life on the truth of this fact. God so loved you that He gave His Son for you. and He loves you. Even while you and I were yet sinners, God commended His love toward all of us in that Jesus died for us. You know that, don't you? Romans chapter 5. God didn't say, well, you get your life together and you act like you're supposed to act and you get yourself where you know that I'm going to be pleased, then I'll love you. No, before you even knew that God was and who He is, God loved you and that His Son died for you. You understand that? How important that is for you and I to comprehend that? Because you are to be rooted and grounded in love. A tree's roots go deep. And they go deep into the soil to get the water and the nourishment that it needs to live. That's why weeds grow when it's dry. You ever tried to pull up a weed? You ever realize how deep their roots have gone? Huh? Compared to a lot of plants. Think about it. The aspect is being rooted and then to be grounded. Our faith lives on this element of God and His love for me. It really does. And so as a building is as strong as its foundation, a tree is able to stand against the trials, the wind, the blow, the hurricanes, you name it, only as deep as its roots are. A tree with shallow roots will be blown over. But a tree that is rooted and grounded will stand against whatever comes against it. So what is the foundation of your life? What is that which you've rooted your life in? Do you really, honestly, truly know the love of God? You know that God loves you. How much value does that place on you? Why are people today losing their purpose and their value for who they are? You empty your life of the love of God, you have nothing that's going to fulfill your life. Nothing. Now, you can go to the Bible. You can try sex. You can try whatever to try. And Jeremiah spoke of us. Jeremiah said it's like people pouring water into a vessel, not knowing that in that vessel there are cracks and the water just keeps running out. So what do? They keep putting in and they get frustrated with life because they're pouring everything they can into this vessel, their life, and they can't feel fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said in the Beatitude, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they'll be filled. Songwriter put it this way, and I love it. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever endure the saints' and angels' song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. And far as God is concerned, we're all His children, aren't we? We're all His children. Each of us must be rooted and grounded in love. Why? So we can comprehend together with one another the love of God. For goodness sake, the whole purpose of the kingdom, the church, is so that we can grow and comprehend together how much God must love us. And that through that love, we love one another. Right? And that love becomes the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of who we are as the people of God. It is by the church that the rulers and principalities, etc., are confronted by God. How are they confronted? Jesus said, they'll know you are my followers by the way you love one another. The only way we're going to confront this evil world is by you and me loving one another like God loves us. There's no other answer. No way can you confront this world by program. Children's program, songs, you name it. The only way this world is going to come to know God is they see a people who truly love one another like God loves us. Yeah, love. Yeah. Love. Love, love, love. The answer, in a word, is love. So talking about His life, Jesus said in John 10:18, no one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. Bible tells me that love is more important and more powerful than knowledge, prophecy, faith, whatever. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I know all mysteries and have all knowledge and all faith so I could move mountains, but if I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is, and the most supreme of all, is what? Faith will end someday. It will become sight. Hope will become a reality. But because God is love, love is eternal. It will never pass away. Never. Never, never, never. That's why, if we do know that, then we will be able, we will be filled up to all the fullness of God. You see, the purpose of the church and the purpose of God is to fill you and me up with His love. Can you imagine that? God wants to fill us up with His love. He wants us as saints of His, called out, sanctified, set apart, that we could know the love of God and that it would fill our lives. We'd be filled up with God's love. So that the Holy Spirit could shed abroad that love to a lost and dying world, to one another, meeting needs, doing what God has called us to do. So, do you not know that your body is the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And that the purpose of the Spirit of God dwelling in you is so that you could experience the fullness of God. Don't you want to be filled? Don't you want to have that filling? Aren't you tired of feeling empty? Aren't you tired of wondering, what is life all about anyway? To me, it's simply experiencing God's love in my life. And as I have it and share it and it becomes a part of me, it will overflow into the lives of other people. God's love is pure and holy. It's strong and it's true. Love that saves to the uttermost and makes our hearts anew. Love that is eternal. Love that never fails. Love that makes us complete. Love that protects us through every stormy gale. Love that casts and casts away all fear. Love that keeps us faithful. Such love comes from God, who promised never to leave us, nor to ever forsake us. Do you know the height, the length, the breadth of the love of God? I trust you do. And how much difference would that make in people's lives? Why are we seeing so many young people struggling with life today? It's because they don't know the love of God. They don't know what it means to be loved. And to be truly loved, pure. God's love is pure. It's not any measure. It's an unmeasurable element of love. That's what He's trying to tell us, isn't it? Isn't it? What's happening to our marriages today? How much difference would it make if Melon and I really are experiencing together the fullness of God, comprehending the love of God together, and that love is being shared from her heart to my heart and from my heart to her heart. We're simply sharing the love of God. What would that do? Well, I believe that's what we got. I really do. She's really patient with me. She really is. And yet I know there's no doubt in my mind that she loves me. She loves me. How do I know it? I see the fruit. I see how she interacts. And what I do is I see God in her. Isn't that wonderful? I pray to God she sees God in me. Who in the world do we want to see? I'm dead. I don't live anymore. You're supposed to be dead. You don't live anymore. Who's supposed to be living in you? God is. Amen? You got neighbors. You got friends. You got people you work for. Just show them the love of God. Show them God's love. Do kind things. Go out of your way. Go the second mile. Turn the other. Do whatever. Just show them the love of God and let people know that God is real. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this great little song that all of you know. I just want to know more about Jesus, more about His love, and grow in that element of my personal life. And I know it makes all the difference. It really does. It's all of what life is about, okay?